Back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select with Hockman, Gould, and Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It only felt right to have our buddy the Degenerate in studio one last time before the show comes to an end next week.
And, what is this crap he's wearing?
What is this song, The Loser Takes the Fall? What are you trying to imply?
Well, we're giving some foreshadowing to the Patriots losing the Super Bowl. So for folks, I know it's a radio. Chris has one of the things I learned in doing the show, Chris told me that you can't just assume people can see what you see when you're on the radio.
No,
I've learned this. I've learned this after about a year.
You had to learn that?
Yeah, he taught me that.
He still hasn't learned all the words he can't say.
The show will end without me knowing what I can and cannot say on the radio. I'm still hoping that Trump takes down the FCC.
Yeah.
That's my biggest hope for his
they
presidency.
Won't let Ben be.
So speaking of Trump, his favorite football team, the Patriots, is playing in the Super Bowl. Harry's a big Patriots fan. Oh, I just gave away your name. I guess we can do that now that the show is coming to
But the time I did it and then saved it by saying, referring to his chest, I'm the jerk.
No, really saved it. It's good now because no more day job. I don't have to hide anything anymore.
We actually, we kept our show longer than, we kept our jobs longer than Harry did, who has been operating under the alias The Degenerate because he was afraid of getting fired. And so now we're all going to be out of certain jobs. And the Degenerate is here to talk the Super Bowl. It's kind of fitting. I mean, it really worked out perfectly. It's a full circle. But for getting back to my original point, for those of who want a mental picture, he came in wearing a Patriots hat. I thought, oh, that's whatever, you know. Then he takes his jacket off, and he's got this shirt that says, they hate us because they ate us.
Oh, no, ain't us.
They hate us because they ain't us. And it's got a, it looks like a Patriots logo, and it's kind of like
Pat Patriot.
It's kind of crouching over at its knees, sticking its butt out.
That's the old Patriots logo.
Yeah, okay. That's the one that the Bears did 85. Some damage to.
So yeah,
that's
Tony Eason.
We're going to talk some Super Bowl here. We got some prop
just
bets.
Just factually correct. It's amazing.
I think the worst thing of your outfit isn't the Patriots hat nor the Patriots t-shirt. It's this like 1989 turtleneck. Underneath the t-shirt.
Big fan of the turtleneck under a t-shirt or a polo because it allows your summer wardrobe to be also a winter wardrobe.
All right,
there's a reason why that doesn't work.
Is that an Under Armour shirt though? Or like,
I think
like
Felix
you're getting,
Jose.
You're getting like very into this.
It's the Under Armour thing it's like male Spanx.
It's like a brunette.
It holds everything together. You know?
I think you decided to wear the hat and then you're like, you
he built
what?
It from the
I
top.
I need an
down.
Outfit that matches the hat.
Anybody who knows me knows I rock like the Under Armour mock neck like 4 days a week in the winter.
Really?
We haven't had long enough to know you.
You mentioned male Spanx. Is Under Armour like for men like Lululemon is for women?
No, Lululemon for men is Lululemon for men.
Oh, because that's
no,
that's
but
I'm not sure, but I know that, you know, with this gut, I sometimes need things to be kind of held in. Mm-hmm. So you know,
works,
it's
yeah.
this works for me. Otherwise, right, this shirt probably wouldn't fit.
Hockman's going to start wearing Under Armour mock turtlenecks under his Lacoste sweatshirts.
I got a text, my friend.
I got a $25 gift card. I'll sell it to you for $30.
Deal.
All right. So we had a text from Dave.
That's what my gang wears, Dave. My gang wears Lacoste and back in the bagel.
From
boys.
Our good buddy Dave with Cauliflower Erie says, "Tell the Degenerate I like the Patriots' chances to win their first legitimate Super Bowl."
Oh wow.
So I'm kind of torn here because like obviously I don't like the Patriots. But obviously, I don't like Roger Goodell, and I feel like the Patriots winning would be better.
Two rights
for,
make a wrong.
Kind of the enemy to the enemy of your is your friend.
Right.
I really want to see Roger Goodell have to hand over the trophy to Tom Brady, who he tried to ruin the season of the Patriots by suspending him for Deflategate, even though scientists kind of piled on to back him up. That really probably didn't happen. I would like to see Goodell shamed by having to present Tom Brady the trophy.
I'm literally counting down the minutes until this happens because I can't, like, I haven't slept this week. I close my eyes and all I see is Goodell handing the trophy to Kraft and Kraft having some pre-prepared
I hope he doesn't
singer.
Drink. Hopefully he doesn't drink too much because he kind of wasted the last
was,
time they
yeah,
gave him
the
microphone.
Yeah, he was on something. I'll have what he's having.
Degenerate, I want to ask you about the Falcons. A lot of people are comparing the Falcons to the team the Patriots defeated in their first Super Bowl championship, the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams. You seem pretty confident. Why do you feel that your Patriots will be able to contain the Falcons?
Well, it's interesting that you said. I heard a fact on another show or podcast or something yesterday that was the top five scoring offenses of all time are 0-4 in the Super Bowl, including that greatest show on turf, with the Falcons being number five. Wow. So, history would suggest that rolling in with a hot quarterback and, big-time point scoring offense doesn't necessarily translate to victory in the game. Now, obviously, anything can happen. It's the Super Bowl. If there's anything I know, it's that the Pats don't blow people out in the Super Bowl. It hasn't happened, I don't necessarily expect it to happen on Sunday, but I'm hoping that it does. But to go back to your question, I also think it's, the odds that Matt Ryan is overcome by the moment for a quarter or even a couple drives at the beginning, I think are much greater than Tom Brady being overcome in the moment.
Okay.
And so I think, all other things being equal, that's where you go, well, there's, 25% chance Ryan just gets the jitters and throws a pick in the first quarter, and then they're in trouble.
I have a couple questions about just your psyche as a Pats fan. How do you come to grips with the accusations of the cheating, with Spygate, with Deflategate, Marshall Faulk, even today, yesterday, told reporters, that he knows, he believes in his heart of hearts that the Patriots filmed the Rams' final walkthrough before the Super Bowl, that they found red zone plays that had not been introduced anywhere but that in that practice, and he thinks that they it had an outcome on the game.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it was a lot harder to reconcile before Deflategate, because Deflategate has sort of kind of thrown the equation the other way, if
balanced
you will.
It out.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we did this thing that maybe wasn't great, and we're just kind of not going to talk about it. And now, we've been persecuted by the league. This witch hunt happened, and it's galvanized New England. And I think, to a certain extent, it's been a good thing, just because, if this was my seventh Super Bowl in, what is it, since 2001, so 15 years of being alive, I'm not sure how invested I would be. But because of this New England against the world mentality that has been created and built upon by the league, it's offered us a chance to really care. And I would argue that outside of the 04 Red Sox, this would be my favorite Boston sports title.
Are you Boston all through, like all the sports? So you're Celtics.
I have recently adopted the Blues.
Hey, all right.
Wait, so you have abandoned the Bruins or added the Blues to the portfolio?
Just not a big David Backus guy.
I'm upset. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Not to get off track here, but
you're on track.
I've been upset with the Bruins management, and I like the Blues and I like hockey. I go to a lot of games. So.
Because I'm old enough to remember when Boston was awful at sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so am I, by the way. That was like my first 10 years of my life.
Oh, my God. How'd you survive?
I know, right?
It was difficult.
I mean, it must be agony. So here's my question for you. Do you think that Boston has lost something because agony is no longer part of their identity? Arrogance is.
100%. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I had a lot of feels during the Cubs World Series run because I wanted to say to the Cubs fans, I wanted to put my arm around them and say, you will be chasing the high you get from this for the rest of your life, and you'll never get it.
Right.
And thankfully, Roger Goodell being a... Oh, man, I got to...
You got to be careful here.
I got to watch what I can say here.
Got to be careful.
That's our last week.
Touche.
Roger Goodell being a alleged liar has provided that spark again. And so...
So now it's like revenge.
Yeah,
100%. I think that's a legitimate theory in the Patriots' success this season. I mean, if there is ever a team that could be kind of willing to rest on its laurels a little bit, it's those guys. And to have Roger Goodell come out and punch them in the mouth and take away their MVP for four games, they basically knew going into the season that they had to basically play above themselves at the beginning of the season to get Brady back, and then he came back like a banshee.
I mean, and that to me is far less important than the draft pick. I mean, losing a first-round draft pick in the NFL is no joke. You know, that's a serious penalty. And so, you know, I've been during the beginning of the season, I was on the pulpit saying they got to give us the draft pick back now that science has proven that Goodell's a liar.
Ideal gas law, I think,
doesn't matter anymore.
Big fan of that. But we're not going to get the draft pick back, and it doesn't matter because we're back in the Super Bowl.
Remember when you lost the draft pick because your coach cheated and spied on other teams?
This is a different thing.
I'm just saying that must
have
been.
Well, you can't have it both ways, though, because you brought it up that you're able to stomach the cheating that went on before because of the witch hunt that went on here. So you almost have to have the draft pick there to balance your karma.
Yeah, you know, actually, Derek, I can live with that. If that's going to stop people from giving me crap every time I walk down the street in a bat shirt.
No, so that won't.
Can
stop
I ask
it.
You this question?
Sure.
Well, I mean, I'm going to. Can you answer this question? No, it's not a trivia question. It's a legit question. If the scenario plays out like you want it to, and actually, I'd be all right with it if it did. If Brady wins another Super Bowl, when does he get mentioned in the top five quarterbacks of all time? Top three quarterbacks all time.
He already is.
He might be the top quarterback
of
all time right now.
Why doesn't he get? I mean, he doesn't get legendary status like Manning. And I mean, do you guys think he does?
I think he does now.
100%. Yeah, I gotta
now.
Say, I think
maybe
you're,
not
you're,
3 years
you're
ago.
You're way off there. I gotta tell you.
No,
I don't. I think a lot of people consider him already to be the greatest, and if they win on Sunday, he will no question
really?
Be the greatest. Yeah,
I don't
no argument.
I don't get that vibe at all. And granted, now I mean I get it. Purposefully detached a little bit, but you know, I've a little personal. I've had Brady every snap of his career in that keeper fantasy football league that I'm in with, you know, the highfalutin buddies of Pat Forty and Jeff Duncan in that group, but. So, I mean, I drafted him, you know, long ago only because he was Bledsoe's backup, and I had Bledsoe.
Humble brag here from Derek Gould. Yeah. Or Rick Gould or whatever his name is.
Yeah, who knows anymore. But
it's his cousin Rich Gould.
But I mean this in all honesty, is like I always, you hear like the Favre legend, and it's like it's untarnished. You hear Elway, you hear Montana,
right.
You hear Unitas. And you hear all these guys, and it's like, well, man, Tom Brady is going to have a resume that is every bit as amazing. And you hear, Belichick.
Right. No, I mean, you're right. Because and then you talk about Bill Walsh and Montana, you know, the coach player connection.
Right.
I think after that Seahawks one, which we were joking about with Howard Balzer recently, where, you know, Brady, they score whatever. Brady could have just started driving home. It didn't matter because it was the Patriots' defense on the field.
Right.
But then Malcolm Butler makes the interception, and Brady, who's driving home, has nothing to do with what's going on the field, is suddenly anointed the greatest quarterback ever. He's won his fourth Super Bowl in the whole thing.
Right.
But I think after that, that's when people were like, all right, it's not like who he's chasing. He's on the Mount Rushmore with Montana. Honestly, it's just him and Montana, and then the other two I think are debatable.
To me, the
I think Montana's debatable.
Oh wow, yeah.
To me, the only thing that hurts his case, and I agree, I think he's in that discussion now. I think if he wins it, he'll probably go down as the best quarterback.
That was the question I asked.
But I think he's a top five right now. I mean, I don't think it will launch him
top,
into the
top two. No question. To Hockman's me, exactly.
I would who, also the top hold two? On. Let me finish what I was going to say. I think he will say. I forgot it.
Mount Rushmore.
No, I think the only knock against him is the Belichick is the coach stuff.
Yeah,
you can argue that Hoodie would have taken other quarterbacks and made them that successful.
No.
There's no way we'll know.
I know you're right. And then there's the whole thing like he was a six round pick. If Bledsoe hadn't gotten hurt, he might have never played ever. You know, he might have never gotten a chance, let alone this. But I think with Brady, almost more astounding, if this is possible, than winning four Super Bowls, is how many conference championships he's gotten to in his career.
That's remarkable. You're exactly right. And I mean, if you're going to dismiss the Brady backup theory, like, you know, then you also have to do that with Favre because, I mean, Favre was the backup to the Magic Man. And,
right. But I mean, yeah, think about, so you lose the conference championship game, but to even get there.
No.
I'm just.
Absolutely.
In a league that's designed to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, you're right.
They've won, I mean, it's just, well, it's 12 games in the division, 12 wins in the division until proven otherwise.
Can we take a moment though, you say it's a league that's designed to prevent that from happening. The NFL is advertised that way and claims parity, and yet it's had less parity than two of the other major sports. So let's be honest here. I mean, the major sport that has had the most turnover and the most change in its postseason is baseball. And the NBA has recently seen a real churn at its top that has invested in parity and created. Now, the NBA has a problem because the down teams remain down. And in football, that doesn't happen.
And also because the players are AAU crybabies and
right.
they all
the yeah. No, no, I know. But I just want to say that the NFL trumpets its parity and they'll stand up there and say about it and they'll talk about it until people believe it. That doesn't make it true.
Well, I will put the Pats in the last 15 years up against any organization
as
in
you
the
should.
History of sports, and I would say they're number one, and I'm not even that sure.
But that's because they're good at what they do, and they've built great things, not because of the NFL.
The other thing I was going to say super quick is just the idea of their wide receivers. They had Randy Moss at 1 year, but they don't have Jerry Rice's
amazing.
And John Taylor's.
Yeah.
Introducing the Kitchen Pass at the Cajun Cook-Off, presented by Mardi Gras, Inc., Inside STL, and 590 The Fan to exclusively offer this to our listeners. On Saturday, February 11th at Soulard Market Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., this is a unique experience for 40 listeners to get an inside experience into behind-the-scenes STL dining. Hang out and watch local culinary wizards Tom Schmidt, Mike Johnson, Mike Emerson, and more demo their culinary skills and sample their food before the public can. It's a premium open bar featuring Jim Beam, Effin' Vodka, Hornitos Tequila, Barefoot Bubbly, Bloody Mary Mix, and Tim Lorson's private stash of damn good whiskey for sampling and only to enjoy in the kitchen. Purchase tickets now at InsideSTL.com.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Prop bets from the Super Bowl coming up next. You're listening to the Rider Block. Rider's Block presented by Bud Select. You're listening to the all-new Find It on the Fan 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com.